This is no ordinary time. This is a time when we are speaking to the Lord. Blessed are we if we hear his voice and understand what he's saying to us. He speaks to us through Exodus 33:7-23, reminding us of his greatness. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tent, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young heir Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, leave these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with our people unless you go with us? What else distinguishes me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face you may not see." We turn now to 2 Timothy 3:10-17. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions that I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word, Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And it finishes with Luke 6:43-45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks.
Well, we've begun a series looking at how we can place evangelism at the core of what we're on about as Christians and as a church. And last week was the first week in this series, and we were reminded that the death and resurrection of Jesus is the best and most important news ever. This is because God has made forgiveness of sins and eternal life possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. And our sharing can be the difference in people's eternal existence. And there is nothing more important to God than people living with him in his heavenly kingdom. And so Jesus has passed on to us the responsibility and authority to share the good news. No earthly authority can override Jesus' directive to go and make disciples of all people. We saw how the disciples fearlessly continued to share the gospel, even when directed not to by the ruling Jewish authorities. But we also saw how not everyone responded positively and accepted the good news about Jesus. And this is okay. The responsibility God has given to us is to give as many people as we can the best opportunity we can to hear the gospel, so that they are given that opportunity to follow Jesus. Success for us is not to get everyone we share with to become a follower of Jesus, for that is not possible. Success for us is any time we share about Jesus in an inviting manner. You know, a couple of years ago, we did a series on God's vision for us. In that series, we looked at different important aspects of being the church. And out of that, we got that painting which sits behind us. A painting of David's, which is a visual mission statement. In it, we gather together. We gather around the light and the water of life. And then we take that light into the world. And we lead others to come and enjoy that light of Christ. And so we gather to worship and we gather to connect with God so that we can then take that light to a world who needs to see that light. And so what's that important first step that we need before we go into the world with the light? What comes before going into the world with the light? It is, of course, coming to receive the light ourselves, to be restored, to be renewed, to be encouraged in the light. It is that we must connect with God. And that's what we're looking at today, that the first important step in our evangelism is connecting with God through spiritual disciplines. When Jesus is tempted by the devil in the wilderness with turning stones into bread, Jesus replies in Matthew 4:4, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Although people need physical sustenance from food, we also need spiritual sustenance from God. This spiritual sustenance are the words of God, those words which God speaks to us. So where do we go, and what do we do so that we can hear the words which come to us from the mouth of God? Well, there isn't any one thing. There isn't any one answer, but there are many. There are many things we can do to hear the voice of God, to hear those words of God. But we call all the things that we do to hear God's voice spiritual disciplines. And these are the spiritual foundation of our spiritual lives. Spiritual disciplines are activities which connect us to God and His words. They are the source of our spiritual liveliness. And these range from going to church, to going to home groups, maybe Bible studies. It involves times of prayer in groups, as individuals, or maybe with a prayer partner. And it involves our own quiet time where we sit and read the Bible and pray. Or just times when we go to spend in nature or a place where we can find connection with God. And also extending to things, practices like fasting. So spiritual disciplines aren't ends in and of themselves. Their usefulness is that they are means through which we hear God's words. And the importance of spiritual disciplines comes across really clearly in our reading from Exodus. In Exodus 33, Moses is actually struggling in leading the Israelites. He's having a hard time of it. Because while he was away from the Israelites had made a golden calf and had begun to worship it. And God had told Moses that because of this, he would not continue to go with the Israelites into the promised land, and instead he would send his angel with them. And so in Exodus 33, it's here that we learn about this special relationship that Moses continues to have with God. Moses could go to speak with God like a friend, face to face. God would show his presence at that tent of meeting by having the pillar of cloud come and descend onto that tent of meeting. Now, it was also not only a place for Moses to meet with God, it was a place where anyone could go to inquire of the Lord. But God did have this special connection with God in that tent of meeting. And so on this occasion, following this the Israelites' unfaithfulness, Moses goes to God and asks in Exodus 33, verses 13 to 14, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you. I will give you rest. The rest of the reading that we have this morning is about the presence of God coming to Moses and being with Moses and the people. And this is a beautiful moment as God draws near to Moses with an intimacy not seen since Adam and Eve were walking with God in the Garden of Eden. Moses understands that it is his relationship with God which will determine his success in fulfilling God's calling to lead his people. It's his relationship with God. And the quality of our relationship with God, likewise, will determine our success in sharing with others about Jesus. When we walk closely with God, we are better able to sense his direction. We are able to discern what he's saying to us and through us more clearly. Now, in the end, God answers Moses' request. That request that he may know him by allowing Moses to experience his presence. This is how Moses would come to know God, through experiencing the presence of God. And this is how we get to know God today. We need to be setting aside and spending time drawing near to God. And any time we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Now, of course, God's presence is always with us. For he's drawn nearer to us than even he drew to Moses in Exodus 33. For God doesn't just have his presence pass before us. God has placed his presence within us. Through the Holy Spirit. Although we don't, or at least most of us, don't get to talk with God face to face like a friend, at least I haven't had that experience. Some people do get are fortunate enough at some point in our life to have that experience, but for most of us we don't, and even if we do, it's a very rare occurrence. So we don't get to talk with God face to face as a friend, as Moses did in the tent of meeting. But nonetheless, we can connect closely with God through the Holy Spirit, and by doing those things which help us to hear him and experiencing him. We see that Moses also realized that the task God had given him was beyond him. And again, he knew that he needed constant guidance. And again, Moses sought the presence of God so that he could receive this guidance. And similarly, the task God has given us to effectively share the gospel, it's one that's beyond us. Effective sharing of the gospel is as much about God being able to speak into the person's life that you're sharing with than it is about you having a willingness to share. And when we do share with someone, we won't know many of the points that God can use to speak to that person's heart and to turn them towards him. We may be able to discern and detect and respond to some things, and God can even help us to do that. But only God can ensure that we stumble over something which will touch deeply the person we're sharing with. And the closer our connection with God, all of this just works better. So as we read this passage, let's not forget what Moses asked of God in verse 13. Moses asked, "Teach me your way so that I may know you." Moses wanted to get to know God. And the way which Moses got to know God was through spending time with God. And what this meant was that Moses had to give God the time to teach him. Getting to know God and giving him the time to teach you about himself is integral in our relationship with God. And it's integral in our leading God's people to know God. I mean, for instance, how could Moses lead a nation to please God if that nation did not know God? And if Moses did not know God, how to please God? If getting to know God is still important today, which it is, then like Moses, if we're going to lead others to know God and how to please God, well, the better we personally know him, the more clearly we can share with them about him. Makes sense, right? Of course, God's answer to Moses' request for Moses to learn who God was through experiencing his presence. And of course, again, the same is true for us. Again, for us to know God better, we must be spending time in his presence, listening to his words. Our spiritual liveliness depends upon being fed by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be spending time in prayer. We need to be coming together in worship. Now, last week, even the disciples weren't successful, even most of the time, in their attempts to convince people that they should believe in and follow Jesus. And we also read how they were flogged by the Jewish authorities before being released and warned not to teach again in his name. It is inevitable that at some point, at some time when we are sharing about Jesus, even if we're being considerate and trying to tailor our sharing to those that we're sharing with, that some people will just ignore us, won't care less. Some are going to oppose us. Some will insult us. And in all manner of ways, make the sharing of the gospel uncomfortable and difficult. We're all going to face that at some point if we engage in sharing the gospel. As Paul is encouraging Timothy, he's reminding Timothy of the example he set for him to follow. 2 Timothy 3:10. However, you know all about my life, my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecutions, my suffering. Paul faced all of these things, and Timothy was a witness to it. And despite facing many hardships, Paul continued to faithfully serve Jesus. He never stopped sharing about Jesus wherever he went. The only way to be able to withstand the hardships of being a witness when we face these times is for us to remain close with Jesus and to find our strength with Jesus. Jesus giving us his strength. And in the face of persecutions and suffering, just like Paul, we are able to continue to love those that we're sharing with and preaching to and patiently inviting to follow Jesus. And so through that relationship and connection with Jesus that we're able to have this inner strength which enables us to continue to love people in the face of being treated horribly by them. When we continue to have patience with sharing with someone who rejects us again and again. We have to have a character which is formed into Jesus' likeness, with Jesus' strength flowing through us. Otherwise, We will give up when the going gets tough, and we will stop being a good witness for Jesus by losing our Christ-like attitude in the midst of pressure. And we have to stay planted in Jesus. And if this wasn't the case, if this wasn't something difficult to do, then Paul wouldn't have needed to spend a considerable amount of time encouraging Timothy to remain steadfast and true to the gospel. But Paul knew how difficult this would be, and why it is so important to be spending a lot of time with God so that we are forged into the character of Jesus, that character which Paul exhibited. Paul spent considerable time praying and reading the scriptures, and he's encouraging Timothy to do the same, because it is through the practice of spiritual disciplines which increased Paul's ability to continue to stand up for Jesus and continue on. The only way for us to maintain and increase our Christ-likeness is through spiritual disciplines. Now finally, what becoming Christ-like also does is that it turns us into the best witnesses. In today's world, many brands use celebrity and athletes to promote themselves and their products. For the brands, the idea is to find someone who they think can connect with the demographic that they're targeting. Who do you think is the number one person in the world today who brands turn to for a celebrity endorsement? Does anyone know who it is? Any guesses? There's a lot of people out there. I mean, if you've got the sermon in front of you, it's right there. It's Roger Federer. Roger Federer is possibly the greatest tennis player ever to play, and if not, he's in the top few. However, this isn't the only reason why more brands use him than any other person to promote themselves. It's because not only is Roger a widely recognized athlete, but also he's just a really nice guy. Everyone can kind of connect with him. He's someone that everyone would want to have as their friend. He always comes across as a happy, smiley person who likes other people, who's respectful and well-behaved. And so this has seen brands wanting Roger to endorse their product. And so he's been able to make around about $100 million a year in these endorsement deals, because they want him. Personality matters. And as good and nice of a person as Roger Federer is, he still falls short of Jesus. And as we go out into the world to share about Jesus, we are Jesus' brand ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. Our character, our personality matters. The more we are like Jesus, the more people will respond positively to our message about Jesus. However, if we are rude and pushy and inconsiderate, this will detract from any sharing we do about Jesus. So becoming more like Jesus makes us into the best witness for Jesus. And there is no shortcut to becoming a good person like Jesus. Some people can fake it, but eventually their true colours will shine through. Luke 6:45, the good person brings good things out of the good stored up in their hearts, and the evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their hearts. For out of the overflow of the heart, their mouth speaks. There's no shortcut to becoming like Jesus. You've got to spend time with him. You've got to put in the effort. It's why we call them spiritual disciplines. It's not our spare time that we can give to him. To be the most effective we can be at sharing the gospel, like Paul, we have to dedicate ourselves to becoming more like Jesus. And through spending time with Jesus, allow his goodness permeate through us like a nice marinade. So spiritual disciplines are an important aspect of becoming more effective in our sharing of the gospel. Through spiritual disciplines such as worship, prayer, Bible study, quiet times, we are spiritually nourished by every word which comes to us from the mouth of God. Through spiritual disciplines, we are able to get to know God through His presence. And God is able to speak into our lives, teaching us about His ways and His goodness. God is able to guide us and help us in our evangelism. God is able to strengthen us to withstand the rejection, persecution, and suffering we will face from witnessing. And God is able to transform us into the image of Jesus, His Son. All of these things are important if we are to be effective in sharing the gospel. So it's important that we first of all focus on giving God the time to speak into our lives. Moses clearly went to the tent of meeting regularly to talk with God. And although we don't need a tent of meeting, we still need to regularly find that time and space for God in our lives so that God can continue to work in us and speak to us. Amen.